This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, February 24th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. We've been following the ongoing battle between tech companies and publishers over whether the platforms should have to pay for news content on their sites. The latest, after a five-day blackout in Australia, Facebook reached a deal with the country's government to restore news content on its platform. Our tech editor, Bodhi Atwaye, will join us to explain what's going on and what the development could mean for the broader debate after these headlines. Tech stocks bounced back from their worst open in months yesterday after 2 weeks of declines. Here's our reporter Michael Wursthorn on what's behind the market moves.
Fears over the recent uptick in bond yields kept investors on edge as they reevaluated favorites such as Tesla and Moderna and other stocks whose valuations have ballooned in recent months amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Bigger losses were averted after Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said inflation remains soft, tamping down fears of a policy shift by the central bank. Still, some investors say they are continuing to rotate out of technology stocks by taking the gains they earned there over the last year and putting that money into companies more tied to an eventual full reopening of the economy, suggesting major indexes face more volatility ahead.
Cryptocurrencies lost steam yesterday as well after this year's furious rally. By Tuesday afternoon, Bitcoin had fallen 11% to about $47,000. And the second largest cryptocurrency by total market value, Ether, was down 13% to about $1,500. Analysts and investors say the correction was likely triggered by the historically high prices for the currencies, as well as the market's broad turn towards caution. And executives from SolarWinds, Microsoft, and FireEye appeared before the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday in the first open hearing on the sprawling SolarWinds cyber attack. Officials have said the hack compromised at least 9 federal agencies and around 100 companies. Yesterday, the executives said the attack was likely much wider, more complex, and harder to trace than previously known. Here's Microsoft President Brad Smith. His company's been helping with the response.
We've seen this done in Ukraine, but we haven't seen it done quite like this. It's a little bit like a burglar who wants to break into a single apartment but manages to turn off the alarm system for every home and every building in the entire city. Everybody's safety is put at risk, and that is what we're grappling with here.
Officials and industry experts believe the attack was a Russian espionage operation, and experts have described it as one of the worst U.S. intelligence failures on record. Moscow has denied responsibility. All right, coming up after the break, why Facebook is ending its news blackout in Australia. That's next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
For 5 days over the past week, people in Australia weren't able to access news on Facebook. The social network had instituted a blackout in response to a controversial proposal being discussed in the country. But yesterday, Facebook and Australia reached a deal to restore news pages to the platform. It's the latest development in an ongoing debate over whether internet companies should have to pay publishers for news content. And so to bring us up to speed, we turn to our tech editor, Bodhi Atwaye. Hey, Bo, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we talked about the news blackout on the show last week. That was a really drastic move on Facebook's part. Can you remind us why they took that step?
So Facebook removed news from its platform last week. And effectively, it was a power play against legislation that would require Facebook and Google to pay traditional media companies for content that appeared on its platform. The idea is that, listen, you know, Facebook is a very powerful force that has emerged in the news industry. And from the government's perspective, if there was a way to get the companies who are benefiting from the engagement that some of these articles are driving, that, you know, in order to benefit, you should pay at least a moderate amount or something to the companies that aren't necessarily getting as many benefits from the content being hosted on the platform. So a lot of people are reading the articles on Facebook and they're benefiting from the conversation, but that money isn't necessarily flowing back in many cases to the news publishers. So the government stepped in and said, hey, we want to find a way that the companies can get paid for the work that is driving engagement.
And let's talk a little bit more about the impact of that news blackout. What did that look like for folks on the ground in Australia?
Quite dramatic. And in some ways, it's weird because, you know, it's not like you couldn't have political conversations or talk about stuff that appeared in news outlets. The issue was like you couldn't necessarily post links to news articles. And then sometimes, like in the US, so like if you post a link to, let's say, a Wall Street Journal story, the link will pop up and you could easily click that link if you wanted to, and then it'll port you to the news publication's website. Well, under what happened in Australia, you couldn't do that necessarily. And what ended up happening was traffic went down to some of the largest news publishers because, you know, a lot of companies rely on Facebook to drive a not insignificant amount of traffic to their platforms.
And so fast forward, and clearly some of that pressure looks like it worked. We now have this agreement between Facebook and the Australian government to get news back on the platform. What does this new deal entail, and what concessions did we see from each side?
In Australia, the original legislation would have required tech companies and news publishers to enter, you know, binding arbitration if a deal couldn't be reached on how much money they would pay the content providers. One of the changes announced Tuesday was that there would be a mediation process that would occur before an arbitrator would issue a final ruling on how much, you know, the tech companies would have to pay the publishers. And specifically, one thing that Facebook sought is they wanted the ability to enter content deals with individual publishers. And, you know, part of the amendments to the legislation, to the proposed legislation, would enable, you know, the company to do that.
And is there a clear winner here, or did both sides sort of give a little and get a little?
You know, that's really hard to say. You know, Facebook made the 5-day suspension, but it's not clear if they could decide to do the same thing in the future if things change in a way that they might not like. Also, the legislation itself, it's not official yet. Like there's still other hurdles that have to happen before this becomes the law of the land in Australia. And then again, remember, Facebook doesn't just exist in Australia. It's a global company. So there are other countries that have signaled, you know, we want to increase the scrutiny in the same way that Australia has. And their officials from other countries have talked to Australian officials to say, hey, maybe there's a way that we can model legislation that looks kind of like yours, which means all these proxy battles are likely going to open in a wide range of fronts from Facebook.
And is this a change for Facebook? Have we seen tech companies sort of evolve their positions on this issue of whether they ought to pay publishers for news content?
You know, I don't think it's an issue so much of the companies changing whether they should pay or not. I think it's a question over, you know, Facebook wants the ability to decide directly and negotiate directly with publishers how much to pay. You know, over the years, there's kind of been a movement toward this, and the companies have said, you know, they've shown willingness to enter into individual deals with companies. I think the Australian regulation isn't necessarily that, like, hey, we don't want to pay publishers anymore. There might be a question over, A, how much should we pay? B, should there be a requirement to do so? and C, to what extent do rules seem onerous that would present challenges for Facebook or even Google that other companies don't have to deal with?
And just taking a step back here, you know, we saw Facebook throw its weight around to gain some ground in Australia. Is that something that we could see happen again in these upcoming battles that you mentioned, you know, around the world?
It's hard to say, but, you know, judging from what happened in Australia, it is possible. You know, the companies themselves, they have a lot of users. And, you know, news is one thing that does drive engagement. So you could imagine that, you know, any perceived threat to their business model or potential threat of increased regulation, you know, they're going to be vocal, you know, about their business. And these news publishers, you know, they're going to have to decide, you know, do we reach individual deals with Facebook and Google? The regulators are going to ask, to what extent do we need to regulate this issue and make sure that the news publishers, you know, get a cut from, you know, of what the platforms have. You know, you can imagine these battles playing out over the months to come. You know, this isn't going away by a long shot anytime soon.
All right. That's our tech editor, Bodhi Atwaye. Thanks, Bo.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.